know many of you thought that we were replaying the announcements over and over, but we had intended for it to play at the beginning of worship and in the middle of worship. So please forgive the repetitive cycle of announcements, but all the members should be aware of what's going on now. I also want to let you know that no matter the situation that we're in life and in the world, there seems to be a lot of things going on. And not just are we in the midst of a pandemic, but as I spoke in my prayer, we're also dealing with nuclear explosions around the world. We're dealing with two hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico. And we're also dealing with our own situations, personal, within our own lives, such as death, such as when are we going to go back to school and how are we going to deal with this situation that we find ourselves in. There are no answers, and it's unprecedented. And in the midst of all of this, I don't know if you've ever been in this moment, but it seems as if though everything around you is crushing in, and even though you're trying to find your way out, find the hole, trying to find something that will relieve the pressure of what is going on, there's a long pause. There's a standstill. And I believe that in our text today, we can find that same issue, that same situation with the disciples. Let me explain. You know the story of Jesus as a Christian. You've been in church a long time, but maybe there's someone out there that is watching that has not been to church or does not know Jesus and the pardon of their sins, and you don't know the story. So let me kind of recap just a little bit for you. I want to focus on the perspective of the disciples, especially those that are huddled in this room. You see, Jesus was a radical figure in his time. He was the person that Jewish leaders and the local government, if not the national government, despised. And you know about this. You know what it's like to have a culture of people that are doing everything they can to fight against those that are trying to oppress them. And when they are being oppressed, they come for the leaders. Jesus was this leader. Let me give another situation to kind of clarify what I mean as far as being oppressed and those that are looking in to our leaders. We've had martyrs within our culture as African Americans, such as Dr. Martin Luther King and people like Malcolm X and Sister Fannie Mae Hammer and all of these people who fought to do what they could for our people. They ended up having to go through this wall of oppression. And this is the same thing that Jesus is doing. The message that he was spreading wasn't one that was well received. No, because you see, even though Jesus was a Jew, and even though he was in a Roman province, and this was people that had despised the Jews, they had exiled them from the land and they had oppressed them, they were kind of getting along. But then comes Jesus on the scene, and Jesus says the things that are happening, even in the churches, are going against the message of our God. And then he finds 12 men. You know these men as the disciples. These disciples followed Jesus. They laid down their lives to follow him, their livelihoods. They left their jobs, their source of income. And what happens? At the middle of all of this, they encounter this dead man called Lazarus. Jesus, who was being oppressed by the government and by Jewish leaders, people who were seeking to kill him, were going to keep him away from the funeral of his friend. But Jesus decides to go anyway. And the disciples are amazed. So they've seen it all. They've seen him walk on water now. They've seen him turn water into wine. He's healed the blind and he's raised the dead. They know that this is the leader they should be following. And then at the climax of the story, when they have left everything behind, they get to this point where their leader is taken away from them. And there's 3 days of silence. Of death. What happens? Well, I believe that these men, after knowing or learning that their master, their leader, their teacher had been crucified and buried, they kind of got nervous. I mean, wouldn't you? Everything that you've known, every situation that you've been in up until this point, pointed to this man being the risen Christ, and he's going to rise from the dead. He's done all of these miracles, but now he is gone. What do we do? There's fear and uncertainty. And 3 days pause. Now, I've been immature in my thinking about this text when I was younger. I did not understand how these men who had followed Christ for so long could be so discouraged. They knew that he was going to rise from the dead. He told them so. There was no reason for them to doubt who Christ was and what he can do. But yet they huddled in a room. And part of the issue is not just the fear of their leader being crucified and them also being killed because they followed after him. But I think part of it has to do with when their leader left, part of their purpose left. Part of their purpose left. What do I mean by this? Well, you know, and I know that sometimes you can be fighting so hard to make things work in your life. And the person that you love the most or people that you love that are around you, surrounding you, or leaders that you hold to a high standard begin to drop away, fade away, leave you alone by yourself. And then uncertainty seeps in. We face this uncertainty within our jobs, within school, within our relationships. We don't know where to go or how to handle it. It's not just the physical pain of affliction that we are worried about. No, it's the uncertainty about where we're headed. And so these disciples, during this 3 long days, are faced one with death. And then 2, not knowing where they're going to go when this all ends. Fear and uncertainty. You know that fear can be caused by uncertainty. When we're not sure what's going to happen, we can be fearful of the next thing that comes. Even though we know that God is with us, even though we have a relationship with him, I don't know about you. I'm not sure where you are in your life. But in this moment, I command you to understand, to realize that even though sometimes we may not be able to see him and he seems like he has gone off of the scene, he is still there. Our purpose is still present as Christians and in this life. So that sets the stage of where we are in the text. These disciples are fearful and they're uncertain. Their leader is now dead. And now we deal with how to handle the fear and uncertainty that is before us. Well, I believe in the text we find our answer. It's really clear. You see, the first step that we and how we deal with fear is doing or looking at exactly what the disciples are looking at. They're huddled together in a room. They're huddled together in a room. Now, you missed it because if you haven't realized, sometimes in life, the only thing that we need in the moment of our fear and uncertainty during this long pause and not knowing where we're going to end up is to have somebody there that cares for us. to have somebody there to love on us and to speak life into us, to tell us that everything is going to be all right. And let me give the caveat to that. Not everybody in your life is meant to be there as an encouragement. There are some people that you're going to have to cut loose. There are some people who don't care where you're going or where you're headed. They don't care about whatever situation you're in. Beware of people that seem like and say that they care for you, but really they're doubting the whole time. Just like doubting Thomas in the room, right? So we're sitting in this room, we're huddled together, and we know that these disciples find comfort off of each other. I'm sure, just like in Dr. Freeman's sermon last week when he was speaking about Job, and as he's preaching about Job, these men look at their friend going through all of this, who lost everything in one day. They had no words. All they could do is come and sit with Job and cover themselves in sackcloth and ashes. I believe that that is part of the same thing that we're dealing with right now in the text. That these disciples did not have words. They lost their leader. They didn't know what their purpose is, and they are at the face and brink of death. But they had each other. Sometimes, all we need to realize is that people need us. They need our testimony. They need us to sit with them. You don't have to have all the words. You don't have to have everything figured out. Just sit there and listen. These disciples sat with one another in the room, supporting each other, going through this uncertain period, this long pause. And then, as they're dealing with it, they have another way to deal with this uncertainty. And that is, when you're going through fear and when you're going through uncertainty, you should create memories. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus walks into the room and he appears before the disciples. He's risen from the dead. And his first act to the disciples is to hold up his hands and point to his side to show his disciples that it is me. I've been pierced in my hands and I've been pierced in my side, just as I told you I would be. And you remember, because not only did I tell you, but you saw it. Your memories will help you to get through some of the toughest times in your life if only you can think back to what God has done for you. God has shed his blood on Calvary, that God gave his son as the incarnate himself for us so that we can make it through our storm. He created memories. Now, I know that that may not have allowed some of you to shout in your homes, and the youth are like, okay, I know that story and it doesn't really mean much to me except, you know, yay, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. But there are other memories that you can create. You see, if you take scripture, my grandmother used to tell me there are certain scriptures that you need to know to make it. If you take scripture and you put it together, such as Psalm 46, starts off by saying, God is my refuge, a very present help in times of trouble. Now, I have a bad memory, and I'm not quite sure how to accumulate numbers in my head, so I'm not really big on remembering a whole bunch of scriptures verbatim, but I can remember when my grandmother said, if you don't remember anything else from that, just remember the first two words of Psalm 46, God is. And if you create that memory, if you hold that inside, she said, God can be whatever you need him to be in your time of storm. God is a very present help. God is a refuge in time of storm. God is a doctor in the hospital. God is a lawyer in the courtroom. God will make sure that you have everything you need, even when you think you won't make it. If you can't remember that, then maybe quote Psalm 23 to yourself. Create that memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Create those memories. And if you can't remember scripture, maybe you ought to take with you a song that will hold you over for just a little while. I remember a song says, God specializes. The writer starts with the question. He says, have you any rivers that you cannot cross? Have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? God specializes, and he can do what no other power can do. I like that song. I remember also the next verse says, have you ever been on your bed of affliction? And the doctors have done all that they can do. He answers the question again. God specializes. Create memories to help you get through the fear and uncertainty. And then, not only do the disciples huddle together and encourage one another, the next thing that they do after encouraging one another and after creating memories of seeing Christ's hands and the piercings in his feet, they talked about it. They talked about their testimony and what they were going through. Now, that's not the same thing, because what happens is, remember, it's not in our text today, but if you read to the next few verses of that chapter, chapter 20, verse 21 goes into Christ telling the disciples, go out and tell people what you saw. Sometimes, not only do we need to be there and be present for one another, not only do we need to create memories that would help us get through our difficult times, but we must share our testimony and we must share Christ with the world. What do I mean by that? I know I keep asking you that question. That's because I don't have my manuscript, and with the Wi-Fi cutting off on me, I'm trying to hold my sermon together. So let me explain just a little bit more detailed on just what it means to share your testimony. I can't remember the story verbatim. My mind is gone. So let me quote it the best way that I can. There's a man in a hole, and he's stuck deep in this hole. He doesn't know how he's going to get out. Guy walks by, and he says, hey, man, I see you're in a hole. So he tosses down a shovel. The shovel doesn't help him. He can't get out. Another guy walks by and he says, hey, man, do you need help? I can give you whatever support you may need. And he tosses something into the circle. I don't remember what it was. But there was a third guy that walks by. And not only does he walk by, but he jumps into the hole with the man that's down there. And the guy looks at him and says, why did you jump into the hole with me? And what he says is, well, I've been here before, and I know the way out. Sometimes what we need to do is be there for one another, but be able to testify and minister to people on how to get out of the situation. Listen, I've been criticized for being too vulnerable sometimes with the youth and telling all my business, but I believe that we as Christians have a duty, we have a mandate to make sure that we stand and help people that need our help the most. And sometimes we need to see our leaders say, listen, I've been where you are, and I've gone through what you've gone through. I've seen the difficult things that you've been through, and I've been there too. Share your testimony and tell somebody, I may not have everything, but I have what I need to help you. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what situation you may be going through. It may not be a big of a situation at all. Maybe you're the person that is called into the room to go out and minister. But listen, you can make it. You can get through the storm. God will bless you and he will give you the strength by sending you people, by helping you to remember everything that he's capable of doing in your life. And then also by giving you a voice to help someone else. I pray that God blesses you. I pray that God keeps you in perfect peace and that he allows you to get through this season of uncertainty and the long pause that we're so called in. May God bless you. May God keep you is my prayer. Amen.
We thank God for such an encouraging message. The long pause dealing with fear and uncertainty. And thank you, Reverend Spears, for reminding us that we need to huddle with persons who can support us. We need the church. We need the people of God. Thank you for reminding us to create memories, memories rooted in what God has done, what Christ has done for us. And then we can go out and use our voices to share that testimony. We want to invite you now to join with us, to follow Christ with us. If you're interested in talking to somebody about your fear, about your uncertainty, if you're interested in sharing your journey with us, we invite you to do so. You can call us at the church. You can reach us on our website, ebc3austin.org. You can reach out to us via text or email. And one of the ministers or staff will talk with you, will pray with you. Reverend Spears said it's important to find people with whom you can huddle, with whom you can get together to share. We want to be that for you today. We don't want you to think that you're by yourself with your fear and your uncertainty. And certainly we encourage you to give your fear and uncertainty to Jesus Christ. Nobody can keep you. Nobody can strengthen you like Jesus can. We extend the invitation to you right now.